It's the most dangerous thing that teenagers do, and it takes a brave adult to teach them how to do it right. This hour, Driver's Ed, yesterday and today. It's Talk of Iowa from Iowa Public Radio. I'm Charity Nebbe. Wallace Winky taught students to drive in Belle Plaine, Iowa from 1954 to 1982. His wife, Beverly, has collected the memories of his many students into a book called Park It. We'll take a drive down memory lane and talk about driver's ed as it was, and then we'll find out how kids are learning to drive today. We also want to hear your best driver's ed story. Join the conversation after the news. It's Talk of Iowa from Iowa Public Radio. Good morning. I'm Charity Nebbe. Learning to drive is a rite of passage in this country, but you can't learn to drive without help. It takes brave and committed men and women to teach people, particularly teenagers, how to drive. Comedian Bob Newhart summed it up well in his 1960 sketch, The Driving Instructor. Here's his introduction.
But there are a group of men who every day, when they go to work, never know if that night they'll return, because they face death in 100 different ways. And I'm talking about America's driving instructors.
We'll hear a little bit more from Bob Newhart later on, and we'll also find out how kids are learning to drive today. I'll talk with Larry Johnson of Des Moines Public Schools and Dave Kopp, co-founder of Drive with Cops. We also this hour want to hear your best driver's ed story. You can give us a call at 866-780-9100, tweet us at IPR Talk, or send email to talkofiowa@iowapublicradio.org. And Wallace Winky taught students to drive in Belle Plaine, Iowa from 1954 to 1982. His wife, Beverly, has collected the memories of his many students into a book called Park It, and she's here to help us take a drive down memory lane. Hello, Bev.
Good morning, Charity.
Thank you so much for being here today.
Thank you for asking me to share these stories in this book.
And I know that your husband was a veteran of World War II.
Yes,
and
he was.
He came back. He became a teacher.
Yes.
What was it that prompted him to add driver's ed to his duties?
Wink was always concerned about safety, and he grew up in a time when things were not really safe. So when he went to UNI, Iowa State Teachers College, they were offering one of the first classes in driver's education. So when he graduated in 1949, he became certified to teach driver's training.
All right. And of course, you get a little extra money, or at least you used to get a little extra money
for
being a driver's ed teacher.
Yes.
So that's a nice incentive. In Belle Plaine, and I'm sure things changed over the many decades that your husband taught driver's ed.
Yes, they
but
did.
Many of the stories that you've collected, your husband would drive out into the country, pick kids up at their homes. How did this work?
Well, at that point in life, it was just an accepted thing, and he did do that. He would pick them up in the morning, and then, you know, they would go to school. He would pick them up at school. They would go out and drive, and then he would take them home, and they would get out of the car, and he'd drive back to Belle Plaine.
What was it, do you think, about your husband that made him particularly well-suited to this role as a driving instructor?
My husband was so calm. In the almost 60 years we were married, I never saw him angry. I never saw him curse. He was always gentle. He was always respectful. He made each person feel as if they were special. He never chastised a driver if they made a mistake. He would just say, okay, let's let Pete drive now, or something like that. He just, or, you know, pull over. But he wouldn't, and he never said it angrily. He was just always this kind, gentle man.
I can't imagine a position that would try one's patience more than teaching teenagers to drive.
Well, I can't either, but it never seemed to bother him at all. He never talked about it at home. He never complained about the kids and the silly things
really,
they did.
Really? He didn't come home and tell stories?
Oh, no, he didn't. When we started collecting stories, We were just so surprised. They were, some of them we had heard, because when we would go out in public.
Right. Belle Plaine's a small town.
Yes, it is. Yes, it is. And so former students would come up to him and say, Mr. Winky, do you remember? And they would share a story. But most of these stories, we heard them for the first time as we collected them from former students and colleagues.
And what prompted you to start collecting these stories?
Well, hearing these stories in the bank, at church, every time I would hear a story, a scary, funny, or touching story, I would say, I need to write a book. And I think people just got tired of me saying that. So a representative of the class of 1959 brought this folder to Wink. She had collected stories and said, Mr. Winky, here are stories for your book. So we started collecting stories. And we collected over 200 stories. And as I said, they range from hilarious to scary. Local artists did sketches to go along with the stories, and thus the book was created.
Well, why don't you read us one of the funny stories? And boy, a lot of these stories are about parallel parking.
They're about parallel parking. And there was a store in Chelsea that had bananas on sale on Thursday for 9 cents a pound. So whoever drove on Thursday could plan on going to Chelsea to buy bananas. This story is about a student who was doing his first parallel parking. My best Winky driver Ed story was the day he made me parallel park. He asked me if I knew what I was doing, and being usual, my usual smart self, I told him, it's easy. Just pull up next to the car in front and then slam it into reverse until you hit the car in back. Then fire it into drive and slam the car in front. And then toss it in reverse and level it off. Obviously, the wrong answer, as I had to spend my full hour going around the block and parallel parking between the same two cars in front of the Belle Plaine Union building. When we were done, Wink asked me if I wanted to change my answer. I agreed that I had a completely new answer if he wanted to hear it. Well, apparently Wink didn't want to hear it because it's not in the book.
Well, and like I said, parallel parking plays a big role in a lot of these stories. And I love the contrast between the people who shared stories saying that your husband taught them to parallel park and they are experts, and the
yes.
people who also claim to never get it at
well,
all.
This person didn't. And the ironic thing, or the good thing about this person, is he taught school. He became a teacher, taught school for 37 years, and now serves as the mayor of Belle Plaine and doing a fabulous job.
Oh, that's wonderful to hear. A lot of the stories also involve students turning but failing to straighten out the wheels. Now, of course, power steering has really taken care of this problem. But
yes.
That seemed to be a very
yes.
common problem.
Oh, hitting semis, going in the ditch, it was, a parked semi.
Right,
it
thankfully.
Was, yeah, the book is full of those stories.
And you have a scary one you want to share,
yes,
too,
I
right?
do. And this one just really scared me. That's the wrong story.
All right. Well, since you didn't know about a lot of these stories, did that kind of make your heart stop?
Oh, it did.
To learn how many times your husband had been in the ditch?
Yes, it did. And then sometimes I say, there never would have been this book had I known how many times he had been in the ditch. But he loved it, so that would not have happened. May I just tell you the story about the scary
Please
story?
Do. Yes.
Many of our kids lived in the country, so Wink always made sure that kids knew how to drive on gravel roads. And this particular time, there were two girls driving on a gravel road, and they were going very slowly, 30 miles an hour, and Wink was saying to the girl who was driving, don't get so close to the ditch, don't get so close to the ditch. And they rounded a curve, and she just slid off the curve into the ditch, and the car was tilted. So the girl in the back got out, and the driver got out, And so Wink could not get out on his side. He had to scoot across the seat and get out on that side. Well, as he's getting out of the car, the girl who had just gotten out of the car let go of the door, and it slammed him in the head.
Oh.
He never said a word. He didn't chastise her. He didn't say anything. He just said, let's walk to the farm and telephone. The girl who wrote the story said, that in itself was amazing. But what was really funny, as she walked away from the car and looked back, the car was surrounded by tall grass. And on the back of the car, it read, Belle Plaine Student Driver. And she thought that was just hilarious. So that's the scary story, because that was a scary story.
Oh, absolutely. And then there were a number of scary stories, a number of close calls.
Yes, yes.
When your husband retired from teaching driver's ed, did he reflect on that at all? And you said he never came home and told these stories.
No, he would. Most of these stories he heard, and he would laugh as he heard them and smile. Oftentimes he would make some positive comment about the writer of the story.
Belle Plaine is a small town, and was he the only driver's ed instructor?
No. Over the years, as he taught, there would be other people who were certified, and they would help him. But he was always the main steadfast driver's training teacher.
All right. So he taught the majority of students in Belle Plaine to drive for 30 years.
Yes, he did. Yeah,
that's pretty remarkable. Does Belle Plaine, do you know, is there a better driving record in Belle Plaine than
I hope so. At least the drivers who my husband had.
So in putting this book together, you've published these stories, you have the artwork that local artists have helped you out with, and there's been an exhibit that's been going around. What are you hoping to do with the proceeds from this book?
Well, we've established a Wallace Wincke Foundation. Wink was always a life learner. He was always a volunteer. He volunteered at the elementary school until he was 85. He volunteered at the Iowa Veterans Hospital until he was 90. So we are taking the proceeds from this book and whatever other benefits or activities we do to give scholarships and grants to lifelong learners, because that's its legacy, and we want to keep that moving.
Well, Bev, stay with us for just a few minutes. We're going to take a short break. I'm talking with Beverly Wincke, who has put together a book collecting all the stories of her husband's students. The book is called Park It, a collection of stories that will drive you to laughter, the amazing true adventures of Wallace Wincke, driving instructor. He taught driving instruction in Belle Plaine for about 30 years. We're talking about driver's ed this hour on Talk of Iowa. We'll continue this conversation in a moment. And we want to hear your stories, too. What is your best driver's ed story? 866-780-9100 is the number to call. You can tweet us at IPR Talk. You can also send email to talkofiowa@iowapublicradio.org or post on our Facebook page. This is Talk of Iowa. It's Talk of Iowa from Iowa Public Radio. I'm Charity Nebbe. This hour, we're talking about driver's ed. A lot of us have driver's ed memories, and we want to hear your stories this hour at 866-780-9100. You can tweet us at IPR Talk. You can also send email to talkofiowa@iowapublicradio.org. In just a moment, we're going to turn our attention to modern driver's ed and talk about how kids learn to drive today. But right now, we're kind of taking a trip down memory lane with Beverly Wincke. She has put together a book, a collection of stories from the students of her husband, Wallace Wincke. Sorry, I said Wincke there. Wallace Wincke, who was a driving instructor for Belle Plaine in Belle Plaine for 30 years. The book is called Park It, and she's collected stories from students everywhere. And before we get back into those stories, I want to hear just another moment from Bob Newhart. This is from his 1960 sketch, The Driving Instructor.
Oh, I see you've had one lesson already. Who was the instructor on that, Mrs. Webb? Mr. Adams. I'm sorry, here it is, Mr. Adams. Just let me read ahead and kind of familiarize myself with the case. How fast were you going when Mr. Adams jumped from the car? 75? And where was that? in your driveway.
All right, just a moment from Bob Newhart's sketch, The Driving Instructor. Bev Winkie is here with me, and and you were just sharing some of the scary stories that your husband had. Hopefully he didn't have to leap from a moving vehicle any point.
No.
One of your husband's students is on the line with us right now. Elaine Tuba is on the line. Hello, Elaine.
Hello.
Hi, and I understand that you have a good story about Mr. Winkie.
Well, I think so. He was quite the man.
Can you share your story with us?
Sure. Jeannie was one of my friends in high school, and I got to take driver's ed with her. And we were together one day, and I was in the back seat while Jeannie was driving, and Mr. Winkie was on the passenger side, of course, and with a set of brakes just for him, just in case they were needed.
Yes, an essential piece of equipment for a driver's ed instructor.
That's right. And Mr. Winkie had a very calm, easygoing way about him, and he never got upset. He just took things as they came and instructed us when we did things wrong. And anyway, Jeannie was driving, and she was doing fine, and until she came to, I think it's 15th Street, and it's out by our golf course. And that street happens to be on kind of a steep little hill, and it has a T intersection at the bottom, so you have to turn either right or left. And she didn't let up on the gas, but continued to give the car gas as we drove down the hill with no time to turn because of her giving gas.
Right.
I was in the back seat using my make-believe brakes and braking just as hard as I could, which, of course, didn't work. I'm thinking as I'm braking, why doesn't Mr. Winkie say something to her about us dying any time if she doesn't slow down? About halfway down the hill, he turned to her and in a very calm manner said, "Now, Jeannie, when you go down a hill, you don't give a car gas. It's not necessary, especially when you have to turn at the bottom." He was so easygoing in his reaction to what she was doing. Mr. Winkie is a very wonderful person. At the time I wrote this, he was still with us.
Right.
This good memory will always be with me, even though I thought I might die at the time. I can still see him turning his head and saying to Jeannie, "Now, Jeannie, when you go down a hill," and that's the end of the story.
Oh, thank you so much for sharing that, Elaine. And did you make the turn?
She did. She did make the turn.
Yeah.
But
I mean,
with his help.
Yeah. So he had to hit the brakes?
It would have been awful if we were together, just Jeannie and I, and she did that, because I don't know what I would have done. Bailed out, maybe.
And do I understand that Mr. Winkie was also somehow instrumental in introducing you to your husband?
He was. He was a real good friend of my parents, and Mrs. Winkie, too, their whole family. And Dad, when he bought advice from Mr. Winkie, he never, you know, felt that he couldn't get the good advice that he needed. And he talked to Mr. Winkie about this guy that I wound up marrying.
And he had the stamp of approval?
Yes, he did.
Oh, that's wonderful. That's wonderful. And how long have you been married?
It'll be 49 years in December.
Wow. Well, congratulations. And Elaine, thank you so much for sharing your story today.
Oh, you're welcome. Thank you.
Thanks a lot. And Bev, before we let you go, Barbara is on the line, also from Belle Plaine, and has a story about Mr. Winkie that's not in the book. Hello, Barbara.
Hello.
Hi, what's your story?
Well, I just want to tell a story about Mr. Winkie. When I was learning to pass, we live in the country, so of course, and in a small community, so lots of farming equipment on the roads, and so it was important that we all learn to pass. So when I was driving, I got behind a vehicle and He said, well, let's try passing this vehicle. So I got out in the passing lane, and I didn't put on any gas. So here we are, staying in the passing lane but not moving ahead. And he had to remind me, you need to speed up a little if you're going to get around this vehicle, because there was oncoming traffic, of course. And so I went, oh. So he was very calm, and he didn't scare us or anything. He was a wonderful driver's ed instructor.
Oh, wow. And I'm sure you're good at passing now.
Oh, yes, yeah. I drive too fast sometimes, so I'm always passing.
Oh, Barbara, thank you so much for sharing your story.
Okay.
Yeah, thanks a lot. And we've asked for your best stories about driver's ed. You don't have to be one of Mr. Winky's students. Wally is on the line from Des Moines. Hi, Wally.
Hello.
Hi, what's your story?
Well, 40 or so years ago, I lived in Cedar Falls, and I drove a school bus there. And one of the driver's ed instructors, who will remain nameless, had apparently been up late the night before and was very tired. He got a crew of kids in the car and got them on U.S. Highway 218 and said, now, just continue north until I tell you to turn. And he fell asleep.
Oh, no.
And the kids are looking at one another and making hand signals, talking very quietly. We won't say anything. Yeah, as they went through Waverly and Janesville. And finally at St. Ansgar, he woke up. Well, they'd missed classes and everything. That's one of my favorite drivers of the story.
Oh, my gosh. And I'm dying to know who that was, Wally, because that's where I learned to drive, too. But
yeah, I'm not going to tell you.
Okay. Well, Wally, thank you so much for sharing your story. And you can share your stories today, too. 866-780-9100. Tweet us at IPR Talk or send email to talkofiowa@iowapublicradio.org. And Bev Winky, thank you so much for being here today.
Oh, thank you so much, Charity, for letting me share with you this legacy of my husband and the community of Belle Plaine. It has been so fun. Thank you.
That's so great. And the book is called Park It, a collection of stories that will drive you to laughter. And again, the artwork is traveling around in an exhibit, too.
Yes.
It's going to be in Grinnell soon at the Transportation Museum.
The 1st of October.
Fabulous. Well, thank you so much.
Thank you, Charity.
And good luck with the book.
Thank you.
Beverly Winky, the author of Park It, maybe the editor of this collection, a collection of stories that will drive you to laughter. Memories of her husband, Wallace Winky, who was a driving instructor for 30 years in Belle Plaine, Iowa. And now we're going to turn our attention to driver's ed today. Larry Johnson is the Des Moines Public Schools Driver's Education Coordinator, and he himself has been teaching driver's ed for 20 years. He's on the line with us now. Hello, Larry.
Hey, good morning. How are you doing?
Good. Thank you so much for being here today.
You're welcome.
Well, and a lot of us remember when driver's education was something that took place in every public school. Things have changed a lot over the last few decades. How do things work today?
Well, you know, it has changed, and it's somewhat the same. A lot of driver's ed today is outsourced in the Des Moines school system. We're one of the only systems in the Des Moines area that still offers driver's ed as a class where kids get a half a credit for, and we have a summer program.
All right, and it's only a summer program, so
only
it's not something
program.
You can take
yep.
during the school year anymore.
Nope.
And with the changes in driver's ed, I mean, I understand that there are ways for kids to take driver's ed no matter what community they're in, mm-hmm. even if it's not affiliated with the public schools. The public schools still make it possible for a lot of kids, right?
Yes, they do. Yes, they do. If they don't offer it, they at least have to find somebody to teach it at their particular building or school system.
All right. And if the school receives free and reduced lunch programs, the same kids are offered free or reduced driver's education fees.
Yes, that's right. That's a state mandate.
All right. And with the changes, with not having driver's ed as part of the curriculum during the school year, have you seen a shift in the students who are taking driver's ed?
Well, I don't know so much a shift in the students. Everything is fast, you know, technology today. Everything is real quick. There's some accelerated programs you can get done with your driver's ed program in 3 weeks.
Wow.
That's really quick, you know, really quick. 10 3-hour classes. You've met the classroom requirement of 30 hours. You only need 6 hours in the car, so you can get it done in 3 weeks, where years in past, you would do it in a semester. Take a little longer, get a little bit more practice time, and just kind of space things out a little bit. But now it's just, it hits you really fast. It's a real fast program.
How long is the one in Des Moines?
And in Des Moines, the summer school, we do it for 6.5 weeks. We start a week after we get out of school, and we finish the third week in July.
Why do you think there's been this shift, pulling driver's ed out of the regular curriculum?
Well, I think the biggest reason is finances. It's just so expensive to run a program now these days. It's just unbelievable. The price of fuel, renting cars, things of that nature, it's just so expensive.
Well, I think about the kind of access we had when I was in high school, which was 25 years ago, or a little over 25 years ago. We had, of course, cars from the local car dealership that were the cars that we'd actually go out on the roads in. We had a whole fleet of very old, clunky, giant vehicles that were parked over on what was called the driving range.
Mm-hmm.
So we could practice in a sort of protected space where we were even alone in a vehicle. And we also had a room full of these giant simulators that we could try to drive along to film strips. I mean, that's a lot of investment. And I suppose with all the changes in technology, it would be almost impossible for a lot of schools to keep up with that.
Yes, it is. Like I say, it's extremely expensive. When the bottom fell out of the car market, most car dealers just got out of the driver ed business. So there was a place there where you couldn't get cars anymore. And the technology, I know for us here in Des Moines, we haven't used our simulators. Well, it's been almost 15 years because we just couldn't keep up with the technology, and it was so old. And the gentleman who used to service them for us, well, he retired, so we had nobody else to service the simulators. And it was just old technology, and it just didn't meet our needs. So.
Right. Well, and I'll admit, we tested the simulators when I was a kid, and nobody ever called us on just spinning the wheels. So
yeah.
I don't know that they were working even then. So with all of the changes in technology, when young people are learning to drive, there's a lot more going on in the vehicle than there used to be. How do you tackle that challenge?
Well, you know, there's a lot more going on with the technology. Now you have systems that will check your blind spots for you. You have backup cameras when you put the car in reverse. And what we tell kids is you always have to stay in control. The human aspect of driving is still the most important point, and being a good defensive driver will compensate for all the technology, and it will make you better in the long run. Just, you know, what we say is don't get lazy. You always have to be a participant when you're in that vehicle.
Do you find that all of the technology in the car can be distracting to students?
Oh, yes. Yes. Real distracting. There's just so much going on. So much information coming at you. And if you just forget one time, then that could be a problem for you.
As a driver's ed instructor, I'm sure that you are painfully aware of how incredibly dangerous driving is for teenagers. How do you try to communicate the danger to your students?
Well, you know, one thing that we emphasize here in Des Moines is being a defensive driver. How am I going to protect myself out there in the system? And so the classroom plays a very important role in getting kids ready to drive. Being ready, being able to predict things, look out for things, being prepared at all times, trying to stay one step ahead of any potential hazard that they may face.
I want to get to some more of your techniques and some of your stories from the road, but we have asked people to call in with their favorite driver's ed story. So let's go to Sue on the line in LeClaire. Hi, Sue.
Hi, how are you?
Good. What's your story?
Well, I took driver's ed a long time ago in the summer and in Galesburg, and I wasn't very good at it. And so they made me take it another time, two sessions in a row. But anyway, my instructor was the high school wrestling coach, and every time I got in the driver's seat to drive, he started singing "Nearer, My God, to Thee."
Oh my goodness! Well, that probably didn't build up your confidence at all, did it,
but
Sue?
He did it in a loving way. He was quite the jokester. But anyway,
so
having taken driver's ed now.
Good. I was going to ask you, having taken driver's ed twice, do you think that gave you an extra edge when it was time to get out there in the real world?
Yeah, probably did, because I would not have passed the test if I hadn't. So anyway, I did pass, and I haven't had an accident in years and years and years. So.
Oh, good. Well, Sue, thank you so much for your call.
Sure. Okay.
And bye-bye. We have this tweet also from Schnitzel Groove, who said, "When I was learning to drive, there was a brake failure at a stop sign. Coach Jensen grabbed the wheel and saved the day." I'm sure a lot of people have stories of close calls. And Larry, I'd like to hear some of your stories of close calls when we get back from our break. Larry Johnson is the Des Moines Public Schools Driver's Education Coordinator. He's been teaching driver's ed for 20 years, and we'd love to hear from you. You can tweet us at IPR Talk. You can send email to talkofiowa@iowapublicradio.org. You can call us 866-780-9100. You can also post on our Facebook page. We're talking about driver's ed today. This is Talk of Iowa. It's Talk of Iowa from Iowa Public Radio. I'm Charity Nebbe. This hour, we're talking about driver's ed, and we would love to hear your memories. A lot of us have our favorite story of a close call or a funny story from driver's ed. We'd love to hear yours this hour. 866-780-9100. You can tweet us at IPR Talk. You can also send email to talkofiowa@iowapublicradio.org. With me is Larry Johnson. He is the Des Moines Public Schools Driver's Education Coordinator. He's been teaching driver's ed for 20 years. And Nancy is on the line right now. She's on the road somewhere, driving safely, I hope, Nancy.
Yes, I just parked.
Oh, perfect. All right. What's your story?
Well, when I started driver's ed, my instructor said, okay, go out of the parking lot and take a right. So I did so. And then he said, at the next stop sign, take another right. And so I did that. And then he said, now pull over to the side of the road and stop. So I did that. And he looked at me and he said, now which way is right and which way is left? Apparently I had gone out and taken two lefts. And I'm still quite directionally challenged, but I am now driving an 18-wheeler, and I am actually a student instructor for truck driving as well.
Wow. So you went on to drive for a living. And do you always make sure that your students understand that that little trick where you make an L with your left hand?
Well, I use a GPS, and that helps a great deal. And most of my students are not nearly as challenged directionally as I am. They don't know how to shift, but at least they know where they're going.
Nancy, thank you so much for sharing your story.
You're welcome.
And be safe out there.
All right. Thank you.
Yep. Larry, we were talking about some of the changes in driver's ed. As you mentioned earlier, in the Des Moines Public Schools, it's only a summer school program now. And you've also seen a shift in the age at which students take driver's ed. Kids are taking it younger?
Oh, yes. Right at 14.
Wow.
Because they can qualify for a school license at 15 to drive to and from school. So, yeah, kids are coming right away.
Now, I mean, I've heard about a trend in some students actually delaying getting their license. I've even heard about parents paying their students to get their license later, saying, hey, I'll give you $1,000 if you don't drive because it'll save me this much money on my car insurance. But
yep.
But you're actually seeing students want to get into it earlier.
Yeah, we got a lot of kids.
Wow.
A lot of kids want to get their school license to drive to and from school.
Does that make much of a difference for you if you've got a 14-year-old in the car as opposed to a 16-year-old in the car?
Yes, it does. It's a big difference, you know, because that 16-year-old has had a year of high school or two and, you know, and a little bit more mature, have had more practice time behind the wheel, number one, because they probably had their permit longer. A lot of 14-year-olds have just got their permit, and most kids are automatically assume they've been watching mom and dad drive or whoever, and they assume, oh, I got this. This is easy. I can handle it until they get behind the seat.
What are some of the most common problems that you encounter?
Well, not being able to focus in and just not paying attention, awareness of their surrounding, and just not awareness of speed, not being able to just speed in the car and cars coming toward them. We find that's a big problem today that a lot of my instructors are finding with teens.
Why do you think that is?
Just not a lot of practice. You know, kids are not doing a lot of things. And we as instructors talk, we wish we had a fleet of riding lawnmowers. You know, just the kids, so kids can get used to driving something that's moving, get used to feeling the sensation of something moving to judge speed.
Right.
And it's really hard. It's really
hard. Cars are a lot smoother these days than they were when I was a kid. Do you think that's part of it, too? It's harder to feel
yes,
the
it
motion?
Is. Technology, it'll fool you. Bigger tires make for a smoother ride. The sensation, a lot quieter. You know, you don't hear that sound anymore with the wind, you know, coming in and stuff like that.
Right.
So, yes, it is. It's a big difference. The more modern cars, it makes you think you're better than what you actually are.
Now, we've been sharing a lot of funny stories this hour, but, of course, driving is a very serious thing, and we're talking about a 2,000-pound vehicle. Do you have any close calls that you could share with us?
Oh, lots of close calls. I know one time I had a young lady out, and we were out doing some gravel road driving, and you know, we told kids, okay, you got to slow down until you get used to the road, and you can slow down, so you look around, you make sure nothing's coming, and it's safe. And I had her, she went into the turn, and then we always tell kids, well, you kind of let up off the gas when you head into the turn, and as you come out, you accelerate lightly. And, boy, she just hit it hard, and we just started to fishtail and spin. So that was a good learning experience for us. And so we finally got the car stopped, and I go, well, what did you learn? She goes, well, I learned to slow down now before I head into the next curve. So I want to keep control of the car.
And you said, did you mention that you mentioned that?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. So, well, that was kind of in lesson number two. You remember? Oh, yeah.
Oh, wow. Do you ever think about giving it up?
Well, you know, it's most drivers ed, probably all drivers ed instructors will tell you, you have such rapport with the kids. It's a different type of learning environment. The pressure's off. We're not worried about test scores and things of that nature. Everybody wants their license, but kids talk to you. They feel at ease. You kind of get together. I know our kids here in Des Moines, we start out in such a short program. At the end of the summer, the kids are going, do we have to stop? Can we come back again for more time? They really find a friendship with their instructors. But, you know, time, you only go for so long and it's over.
Right. Well, Larry, I want you to stay with us. I want to bring Dave Kopp into the conversation now. He is a retired state trooper and co-founder of Drive with Cops, which is a program in Urbandale, a business in Urbandale, where police officers, retired or active, are the driving instructors. Hello, Dave.
Hello. Thank you for having me today.
Oh, thank you so much for being here today. And what was the inspiration for this program? What made you think this was a good idea?
Well, Matt McCarty, who is an active officer, and myself, we do a lot of accident reconstruction. And one day we were talking about the problems with we're running across with every time you stop a young child that's driving, well, it's a young child, but a young kid that's driving a car, and you're about to issue him a ticket, and they're saying, well, I didn't know that was against the law. I didn't know. And at first you're thinking that, well, they're just saying it because they want to get out of the ticket. And the more people you're stopping, the more you're realizing, well, maybe they're not knowing the rules of the road. And so we decided to come up with a program that would teach the kids the rules of the road, and so that's where we are today.
All right. And this is a program you founded last year. You want the kids to really understand the rules and the laws. But a lot of programs have tried to, I guess, scare kids straight by showing them some of the horrible things that could happen if they don't drive safely. You don't think that's working?
No. Every movie you watch, the more action-packed, they've got video games that are shoot them up and blow them up, and the kids become immune to it. So the thing is, in our program, we want to teach you how to drive, not how not to drive.
And you spend a lot of time focusing on traffic laws.
Yes, we spend a lot of time on focusing on the traffic laws. And we're fortunate enough to be teamed up with IMT Insurance and Granger Motors. So we were fortunate through them to get two simulators, Ferrari simulators, the most advanced cockpit simulators that are out in the market. And we put every child on those simulators, and we teach them about texting and driving. So instead of preaching to them, don't text and drive, we get them on the simulator. You have them text and drive, and they realize, oh, my God, this is so dangerous. We, instead of preaching to them about drinking and driving, we put them on the simulator and have impairment goggles, and they find out that, oh, my God, how dangerous it is to drink and drive. And they're saying, how do people do this? And say, well, 2% of the population is intoxicated every day of the week. And then we have them drive high speed because we're losing so many kids from high speed accidents that we say, okay, get on the simulator and see how fast you can go before you end up crashing. So the simulators have been a really big thing for us.
Well, and of course, this is a business. This is a program where people pay for their teenagers to learn how to drive. I'm sure Larry, listening to all of this technology, this would be a wonderful thing to have in the public schools too.
Oh, it would be great. It would be great. But, you know, budgets,
right.
We just don't have it. It's just...
So the other part of this, Dave, though, is this is driving with cops. So why police officers as the instructors? Why is that an important part of the program?
Well, the officers are out there every day enforcing the rules of the road. So we thought, who better to teach the kids the rules of the road but except those that enforce it? So, and plus, we wanted the officers and the kids to see each other as human beings. You know, kids get intimidated. Oh my God, it's a police officer sitting next to me, either for a state trooper or a Polk County deputy or a Dallas County deputy or one of the local officers. And this way, they realize, well, they're not bad guys. They're bad gals. They're just normal human beings, and they can grow to be friends with each other over the 6 weeks, because our course is 6 weeks long, and they see a different perspective from law enforcement.
Now, I think probably almost every kid, at least probably your best students, Larry and Dave, they're nervous on the first day of driving with somebody. Having a police officer as your driving companion, do you think that heightens the tension a little bit?
Yes, it does. And that's why the first day we're driving, we break that tension by talking to the students and letting them know, listen, we are here to be your best friend, not to sit there and tell you what you're doing wrong. We're going to try to show you how to do things right. So the kids feel it more at ease when they get in behind the wheel. Because the first one, they're like, you know, if I do something wrong, are you going to give me a ticket? No, that's not going to happen.
Do you hear that from pretty much every student?
Oh, yeah.
Are some of them joking?
They're joking, but they really, there's a little bit of, I really mean it. Could you really give me a ticket? And
right.
We tell them, no, that's not going to happen. We're here to help you learn how to drive.
Now, working with young people, you feel that gives you an advantage. If you jump in with kids when they're just learning these things, I mean, you've said that teaching kids is easier than teaching officers who have bad habits.
Oh, extremely easier, because the thing is, when you're teaching a rookie officer how to drive, you're trying to break all their habits from what they've done since the age of 14, where the kids that are coming at 14 and 15 and 16 years old, they don't have the bad habits yet, and so you can mold them to what you want them to do, and instead of saying, no, I understand you've been doing this for the last 10 years, but we need you to do this because we can't afford to have you wreck the police car.
Now, Larry and I were talking earlier, and earlier in the hour we were talking about the amount of patience that it takes to be a driving instructor. Now, do you find that's something that also coincides with being a police officer? Is that part of the job?
Oh, yes. I mean, in patience is the key to success in being a law enforcement officer. I mean, if you don't have the patience, you're not going to last in the career. So by getting in the car, it just helps mold the patience it makes you a better officer.
I want to get back to the phones. Bob is on the line in Tipton. Hi, Bob.
Hello, Jeremy.
Hi, what's your story?
Well, when I was taught driver's ed, in the early 80s, it was required that we learned on both an automatic and manual transmission. And our instructor would take us to Mount Vernon, Highway 1. And if you're familiar with that, there's a stoplight at the top of the hill there going through Mount Vernon. And we would have to go that route until we got a red light and learned how to feather the clutch out to go and wait for the red light, you know, to turn green.
Right.
And if we got a green light, we had to go down, go around the block, and come back up until we finally got a red light.
Well, I guess you learned how not to slide backwards into the car behind you.
Exactly.
Oh, that's a great story, Bob. And Larry, does anybody learn on stick shifts anymore?
Not in Des Moines, we don't do it anymore. It takes, you have to have that touch. We would have more cars in the shop.
Right.
Than we're driving because we have so many kids. You know, we have 400 kids go through our program every summer. So that would be a lot of time at the mechanic shop if we reuse clutches.
Dave, do you guys deal with a stick shift at all?
Yes, we have the our simulators. We have five-speed manual transmission. So the nice thing about the simulators, you can come in and because there are parents that say, hey, we have a manual transmission and we want our child to learn how to do that without burning up our clutch. So we put them on the simulator and it's a five-speed. Like I said, our simulators are Ferraris, so they learn how to drive a five-speed. And in the simulator, there's no you can't cheat on the – we're in a car, you give it more gas, and chugs until it gets going. We're in the simulator. If you don't synchronize your feet, it just shuts off. So
okay.
It really teaches you how to drive a five-speed.
Well, I remember in our driver's ed class, at the beginning of the semester, they said, well, if you want to learn how to drive a stick, we need to have a parent volunteer to loan us their vehicle. And I just can't imagine that anybody ever did that. But I could be wrong. We have this email from Stephanie in Cedar Rapids. She says, I took my driver's ed class over the summer of 1997 on the driving range in Kearney, Nebraska. Among my fondest memories from that driving range, the German exchange student announcing over the open radio system that his car was on fire, hearing the random and somewhat R-rated ramblings of a commercial truck driver crossing into our radio system's bandwidth, and being trapped at the intersection due to the fact that my vehicle's blinker control had fallen out of the steering column, and then watching as the hubcap from the car of one of my friends rolled through the intersection against the signal. So I think her experience was similar to mine with the very old vehicles. As we have just a minute left, I want to ask you, Larry, for people who are teaching their kids to drive today, what's the one thing you want them to know?
Well, you know, just be aware of their surroundings and just a lot of practice time. A lot of practice time. Let them drive. Let them get behind the wheel and be patient. That's probably one of the biggest things.
Yeah, Larry, thank you so much for your time today.
You're welcome.
And for taking the time on the first day of school. I appreciate it.
All right, you're welcome.
Yeah, Larry Johnson, Des Moines Public Schools. And Dave, what's your one piece of advice for parents who are teaching their kids to drive today?
Well, I echo what Larry said. Parents, be patient with your kids. Have them out there driving, making the right and left turns. That's the biggest challenge we find with the kids, not being able to make that right and left turn. And you just drive around your neighborhood, staying in the 25-mile-an-hour zone. So, but having the patience and not screaming and yelling, keep the kid calm, and that'll make him a better driver.
All right, Dave, thank you very much.
No, thank you so much.
Dave Kopp is a retired state trooper, and he's also the co-founder of Drive with Cops, an Urbandale business where police officers teach kids to drive. This is Talk of Iowa from Iowa Public Radio. The program is produced by Dennis Reese, Claire Roth, Lindsay Moon, and Emily Woodbury. Our executive producer is Catherine Perkins. Our theme music was performed and composed by the River Monks. I'm Charity Nebbie.